to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. As you're turning in your Bible, you know we've been doing a series for the entire month of December called Carols. What we've been doing is we have been taking a carol each Sunday in December, and we've been telling you the backstory, and then we've also been sharing key biblical truths from those carols and how they apply to us today. If you missed any of the Sundays, those messages are available. You can get the CDs here at church, or you can go to our website and you can download the the podcast, and you can listen to them at no cost. And I trust that you'll do that. We did O Little Town of Bethlehem. We did Silent Night. We did Joy to the World. And this morning, our carol is O Holy Night. And just before we do that, I want to take just one quick moment and again remind you tonight, if you're not going to be going out of town or you're going to be around, join us for the candlelight service. It's very important. And then also, on your way out today, stop by the Welcome Center and see Sue and pick up. This is going to be our book to begin the year in January. I'm just going to give a quick preview. Next week, we'll introduce our 2019 theme and we'll launch 2019. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We haven't gotten through Christmas yet. But I do want to let you know, and I want you to get this book. It's a 31-day journey. It's a devotional book. My favorite author, A.W. Tozer, it's called The Pursuit of God, if you haven't read it. And it's an excellent, each day, 31 days through the month of January, join us for this journey as we pursue God and as we experience Him in a greater and a deeper way. And these books, normally around $12 to $15, Danielle was able to get them at a discount. We're passing it on to you. It's only $3 for this 31-day thing. Pick one up if you can't afford that. We will get one to you somehow, some way, but we want everybody to participate through the month of January as we do this and other special things, and we'll introduce those things next week. But get this book so you're already ready for January 1st, because there's 31 days and we'll go through the month of January. All righty, our carol this morning is my personal favorite, O Holy Night.
Of our
O Holy Night. O Holy Night was written by Placide Capois in 1847 in Paris, France. Placide Capois was a well-known poet who was asked by a parish priest to write a special poem for a Christmas Mass. He then asked his friend Adolphe Adams to put it to music. This may seem simple enough in its origin of this very special carol, but what's very interesting about the beginning of O Holy Night is that this beloved carol was written by neither the poet nor the musician was considered believers in Jesus Christ. Both the poet and the musician who put the music to the words were not considered men of faith. Capois was a sporadic churchgoer at that, and finally gave up on attending church altogether. Adams was a Jewish man who didn't even celebrate Christmas. At first, O Holy Night was wholeheartedly accepted by the church in France and became extremely popular. But when the leaders of the Church of France discovered that the words and the music were written by two non-believers or non-churchgoers, they denounced the song and tried to ban it. However, people continued to sing this beautiful song, and about a decade later, an American writer named John Sullivan Dwight brought the song to America. Interestingly, Dwight read the powerful lyrics of O Holy Night in French, and he fell in love with it. But what also gripped Sullivan Dwight's heart, was that he was an ardent abolitionist from Boston, Massachusetts. He was particularly moved by the words, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name shall all oppression cease." The writer was so moved by that and believed that Christ's freedom was for all mankind, and O Holy Night saw its greatest growth in favor during the Civil War, particularly in the North. O Holy Night has become one of the entertainment industry's most popular and most recorded song ever written. So we're going to ask you to stand and sing with us, as you didn't already sing along, but as Pastor Tammy and the choral group leads us, let's sing it together, let's open our hearts, and let's worship the Lord as we honor the Lord as we sing O Holy Night together.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus. victorious race. We let all within us praise his holy name.
Come on, let's really lift our voice and
Christ
our heart.
Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim.
Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for the gift of all gifts, and for all that he brought to us in coming and being born, gift wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Today we honor and we exalt him as Lord, Savior, and King. And may each one of us experience all that he has for us in our hearts today. I speak blessing over this congregation and over this service in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's thank our choir and Pastor Tammy and all those who helped us with that. And you may be seated. While they're being situating going on, I do want to, Danielle alluded to in the announcements, I do want to say how pleased and proud I am to be a part of this church family and to be part of a family and a ministry that blesses so many people. I can tell you we had our third event this Wednesday in our partnership, which we were able to facilitate and help work together with the Warren Police Department, local businesses, and churches in the area. And we were able to total in the three events, and with your generosity, we were able to help 142 children and 60 families who all got to shop with a police officer and got over $100 worth of items in order to bless families for Christmas, and that's all part of your generosity. Also, this past week, 1,200 Christmas bags were filled and then distributed at the Macomb County Jail, and then also, as was mentioned, the caroling team went in yesterday and sang and brought hope and the message of Christ into all of the parts of the jail. And then also, Pastor Tammy and Ralph got to distribute it on Friday, Christmas meals, and to some of our seniors and some families as well. I just want to say thank you, and I'm so proud and so pleased to be a part of a church and ministry that's so generous and so kind that we're able to do those things. I want you to give the Lord thanks for all of these things. And as we've told you before, we do these things throughout the year, and things happen all of the time, but I think it's important that you know that what is being done and what is happening throughout the day and throughout the year and throughout the weeks here at Bethel Christian Church. So thank you so much for your generosity. You know, the story of O Holy Night and the story of so many people in the scripture reminds us of an important truth, that God uses unlikely, ordinary people to do amazing, extraordinary things for his purpose and his glory. Think about, I told you the backstory of O Holy Night, think about it. An unknown priest, to this day we don't know the name of that priest, a non-believing poet, a Jewish musician, and an obscure American writer brought the world and us today not just one of the greatest Christmas carols, but one of the most inspiring and impactful pieces of music ever created. God uses ordinary and unlikely people for extraordinary and amazing purposes. And my challenge to us today is that we, each of us, no matter where we are in life or what we may think our life is or where we think we fall in the scheme of the big picture of life, that God has something special for every one of our lives. And God can use every one of us for his purposes and for his glory if we'll open our heart to him. Now this morning, what I want to do, as we've done each week, in taking different parts of the different carols and sharing biblical truth, This morning I want to show you four phrases that I want to take from All Holy Night. And these four phrases give us four key words. And these four key words give us the four gifts of Christmas. I believe that when we open our heart to Jesus Christ and we allow him to be born in our life, not just be born in general, but to be born in our heart, these four gifts are the gifts that we can receive at Christmas. Notice the four phrases. His law is love. Everybody say love. His gospel is peace. Say peace. Sweet hymns of joy. Say joy. And my personal favorite line in the carol is a thrill of hope. Say hope. These four phrases spotlight four words that show us the four gifts of Christmas. The first gift of Christmas that we see that came when Jesus Christ came is the gift of unstoppable love. Unstoppable love. Love that never ends or never fails. Love that is greater than any other power and any other force. Unstoppable love is God's unconditional love that he gave to every one of us and to the entire world in sending Jesus Christ to come and to die on the cross for the sins of the world. John 3:16 sums up this unstoppable love, this unconditional love, when it says God so loved, not just sort of loved, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's unstoppable love is God's unconditional love that he gave to all of us. And God's unstoppable love is his unending love that will never stop, will never quit. You need to know today that God's love will never stop in your life. No matter what we do, no matter what happens in our life, we need to know that his love is unending and it never fails. The prophet Jeremiah tells us about this unstoppable love when it says, "The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, with a love that has no end, with a love that cannot be stopped, with a love that is forever and ever." And I want you to know today that that is a gift today that God wants each of us to have and to experience and to receive in Jesus Christ. Notice that God's love is unstoppable, it's everlasting. Notice it's not long-lasting, it's everlasting. It won't just last for a while and then it will stop, but it is everlasting. I think I've told it before, but it bears repeating. I remember many years ago, I had one of our ladies at that time, and she's long passed, and we did her funeral, and she was a wonderful part of our church. But I remember one day she was going through just an awful time in her life. Everything seemed to be going wrong. Things were piling up all around her. And she came to see me one day in my office. And she looked at me and she just looked exhausted and frustrated. And she looked at me and she said these words. She said, "Pastor, I think God just doesn't love me anymore." And I remember the look on her face and the honesty and the sincerity. And we sat down and we prayed and we talked. And then we pulled out this scripture on my Bible in Jeremiah 31, and we read it over and over again, and I had her read it over and over again, and then I stopped and I simply said to her, "Listen, my dear friend, listen to me. You see, this is, God told us he loves us with an everlasting love, and until he changes on his mind, let's just take him at his word." And this morning, maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you feel like everything around you and everything inside of you is going, and you just feel like maybe God has forgotten about me. Maybe he doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I want you to know today his love is unstoppable. I want you to know there's nothing that can change him from loving you today. I want you to know that his love is not long-lasting. It's everlasting. The Apostle Paul summed it up in the New Testament when he said this about God's unstoppable love. What or who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, No, none of these things. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor devils, nor any other power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other person shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God's love, nothing we can do, nothing that can happen can stop God from loving us. His love is unstoppable. And the first gift of Christmas is the gift of God's unstoppable love. The second gift of Christmas is not only God's unstoppable love, but it's the gift of God's unsurpassable peace. His unsurpassable peace. Peace that supersedes. Peace that surpasses or is greater than every other human emotion or human event. God's unsurpassable peace is a deep inner calm about the present. And it's a deep inner confidence about the future, which supersedes what naturally we would not be able to handle. It supersedes, or it is beyond what human feelings can muster up on their own. It supersedes anything in the natural or human arena. It's greater than all of our fears, greater than all of our questions, greater than all of our concerns. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 shows us this unsurpassable peace when he says, "Learn to rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on. Don't be anxious about everything, but learn to pray about everything with supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be known, made known unto God." And if we will do that, if we will understand who God is and we will develop that kind of a relationship with him, and the peace of God, which surpasses, which is greater, which supersedes all human understanding, it just doesn't make sense in the natural. We ought not have a peace when everything else around us is going crazy, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. I can tell you there have been times in my life, and there have been many people, some even in this congregation today, who have been in situations when everything around us screamed, "I'm losing control," but something inside of us said, "God is in control." That's unsurpassable peace. It goes beyond, it blows and goes beyond our human understanding to figure out why that would exist. God's unsurpassable peace. My brother and my friend here, Woody, wave at us over here, had to be rushed, unfortunately, to the ER the other day. I met him at the hospital and we spent some time together. And I'll never forget what you said to me. He looked at me as they were running tests and as things were going on in his body and things were going around and on his life. And he said these important words to me. He said, "It doesn't make sense, but I have a peace in my heart." You see, that's the gift of God's unsurpassable peace. When we have Christ, we have God's unsurpassable. Listen, it doesn't mean the fear isn't there. It doesn't mean the emotions aren't there. It doesn't mean the questions aren't there. It just means God's peace is there and it's greater. And it supersedes. And it surpasses the fear, the questions, and the emotions. Jesus himself said this, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It's human to be afraid and to be troubled, but there is a peace that supersedes all of our fears and all of our troubles. And my prayer today is that we would experience and we would receive this gift of God's unsurpassable peace. The gift of unstoppable love, the gift of unsurpassable peace, the gift of unspeakable joy, the gift of unspeakable joy. Joy that we can't describe, joy that we can't put into words. Unspeakable joy is more than a temporary feeling of happiness. How many know a temporary moment of happiness is not real and genuine, true, lasting joy that Jesus wants us to have? Now listen, there's nothing wrong with a momentary moment of happiness. We all like those moments and those things that just give us that little bit of sugar in life that makes us feel better. Nothing wrong with that. But what this gift is all about is a joy that's even greater than those momentary feelings of happiness, because those momentary feelings of happiness, depend on what's happening at the moment. If what's happening in the moment is good, we feel a little bit of happiness. If it's not going so good, we feel unhappy. And so what this joy that we're talking about is greater than that. It's an indescribable sense of excitement. It's an indescribable sense of excitement and enthusiasm about not just what's happening in the moment, but the bigger picture of God's plan and purpose for our life. The moment may not be what we thought. The moment may not be what we signed up for, but there's a joy and an indescribable sense of excitement that this may be the moment right now, but this isn't all there is, because there's a joy that's unspeakable and a joy that's greater. Listen to what Peter describes this unspeakable joy. He says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now in a season of heaviness." How many know we can have great rejoicing even in a season of heaviness, even when we're going through a difficult time, even when the things around us remind us of sad things and difficult things and maybe lost loved ones and other ones. In a season of heaviness, he says, you can still greatly rejoice, though manifold or many temptations or many adverse situations that are testing your faith. It's possible today that some of us, our faith is being tested. We can't figure out why these many adverse situations or this heaviness is there, and it's testing our faith. Maybe God is true, maybe it's real, and our faith is being tested. But listen, he said, though it's tested, being more precious than gold, though tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom now you see not, yet believing, you can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can you imagine what a gift that in the midst of manifold testings and struggles, we can still have a joy and an excitement. The moment may not be happy, but there's a greater sense of joy that God not only holds the moment, but he holds the future. And he has a plan, and he will bring us through to victory. My prayer for you today is that we would experience joy that's unspeakable. Joy that's undescribable. Joy that we can't even put into words. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And the psalmist said that weeping endures for the moment or the night, but joy can come in the morning. The gifts of Christmas that come along with the gift of Jesus Christ is not only the gift of unstoppable love, the gift of unsurpassable peace, and the gift of unspeakable joy, but there's the gift of unshakable hope. Unshakable hope. My favorite line in O Holy Night, which is my favorite Christmas carol, that's why I saved it for last, is a thrill of hope. I don't know about you today, but I hope that you're living with a thrill of hope, that you're living with the gift of an unshakable hope. The weary world can rejoice a new and glorious morn. Unshakable hope. Unshakable hope is more than an uncertain wish. I mean, there's a lot of people who are hoping like a wish. I hope so. That's not the kind of hope the Bible talks about. Not an uncertain wish. Not a wish or a hopefulness somehow, some way that God can do something good in my life. But no, unshakable hope is more than a wish that God can do something good. But rather, unshakable hope is a strong belief down deep in our heart that is pregnant with expectation that God will do something special. A thrill of hope because he's going to give us a new and glorious morn. Unshakable hope is described for us in 1 Peter chapter 1 when Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he has begotten or birthed us again unto a lively hope, a living hope." Listen, the hope that Jesus Christ brings is not a dead hope. It's not something that's a wish or a hope so, but rather it's a living hope, a pregnant hope, a hope that is pregnant within us and deep within us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, we can live. Because he conquered, we can conquer to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled. Notice this, that fades not away. It's unshakable. It's unmovable. It can overcome all situations. An unshakable hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My prayer today is that we would experience the gift of God's unshakable hope. It doesn't mean things don't shake us. It just means that we hold on to the anchor of hope. Jeremiah, the old prophet of old, was known as the weeping prophet. He had a pessimistic personality. Listen, there's hope for those of you. As a matter of fact, he became a weeping prophet because all of his prophecies seemed to be doom and gloom and negative. And how many know if all you do is say bad things all day, you're going to become a weeping prophet. And you're going to become pessimistic and gloom and doom. But isn't it interesting that this weeping prophet, whose personality would have leaned toward pessimism, who had to deliver all these negative prophets, listen to what he wrote in Lamentations, which Lamentations means moments of sorrow. He says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished in the Lord, from the Lord." I know there are some who sometimes feel that way, feel like my hope and my strength is gone. Why? Remembering my affliction and my misery is the wormwood and the gall. In other words, it's like bitter poison. Some feel like that their hope and their strength is so gone that it's like swallowing bitter poison. My soul remembers and sinks inside me. But notice this. The weeping prophet discovers an unshakable hope. And he says, "This I recall to my mind." Listen to me this morning. You may feel that way, but today you need to know and you need to grab hold of in your mind that there's a hope that's bigger than that. He said, "Therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. I should have been dead already. I should have already given up. I should have already failed. I should have already drowned. I should have already gone under. But there's an unshakable hope because of the mercies of God, which are new every day. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. For the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Listen, there's a new and glorious morn when it looks like it's the darkest and when it looks like it's over. Listen, it's not over. When Jesus breathed his last breath and they laid him in a borrowed tomb and they sealed it with a 600-pound stone, everybody thought it was over. But how many know on the third day, God did something? On the third day, up from the grave, he arose. And today, we have a lively hope because of the resurrection. Today, we can be pregnant with a hope that's unshakable. Today, we can experience a living and a lively hope in Jesus Christ. Abraham of old was 100 years almost. Sarah was 90, he was 99, and Sarah was barren. An angel showed up one day and said, "You old people need to put a crib on layaway and buy some Pampers. Clip the coupons because they're expensive." That's not exactly what the angel said, but he told them they were going to have a baby in a year. Same difference. And at 99, with a barren wife. You know what the Bible says? Abraham had an unshakable hope. I don't know about you, but I don't know about your hope, but the Bible says against all hope, Abraham believed in hope. That's an unshakable hope. Against all hope, I still have hope. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, clipped the coupons, put the crib on layaway as he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Listen, my prayer today is that we would experience this unshakable hope and become pregnant with God's unshakable hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I told you, and I've said before, but a man that I met in the community many years ago asked me one time, it was like a week before Christmas, and I just kept bugging him and inviting him to church, and finally he just said to me, listen, Pastor, he said, listen, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to me today anyways? An event that happened thousands of years ago. He says, what does it mean for me today? I've told you about a message that my Uncle Sam had preached in Columbus and sent me a cassette tape. That'll show you how long ago it was. It was a cassette tape that he sent to me. It was entitled, It's Always Too Soon to Quit. And that inspired me to know and to tell this man, you know what the resurrection that happened so many years ago means to you today? It means it's always too soon to quit. That there's a hope that's unshakable. The resurrection means that when it seems like it's the darkest, joy comes in the morning. When it seems like it's over, it's not over. There's always hope. The four gifts of Christmas are God's unstoppable love, the gift of God's unsurpassable peace, the gift of God's unspeakable joy, and the gift of God's unshakable hope. But how many know all of those gifts are wrapped up in the gift of gifts? In Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? These four gifts that I'm talking to you about today, unstoppable love, unsurpassable peace, unspeakable joy, and unshakable hope cannot be bought in a store. How many know they can't even be ordered on Amazon? You can't wrap it and put these under a tree. They're only found in Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can experience and receive these greatest gifts. Can I tell you, I hope you get all the gifts that you want and need this Christmas, but these are the four gifts that we need the most. We need God's unstoppable love. You need to know today, nothing will stop God from loving you. You need God's unsurpassable peace, that when the fear is there, the peace is just greater. You need God's unspeakable joy, that you can't describe why you're excited about the future when the moment looks bleak. And you need God's unshakable hope, the expectation that not only God can do something, but God will do something in my life. Those gifts are found only in Jesus Christ. Can I ask you an important question as we close, as we look at this one scripture? Thanks be unto God for his undescribable, unspeakable gift. How many know that ultimate gift is the gift of Jesus Christ? I've got one question I want to ask us before we pray and we close. It's an important question. Is Christmas for us simply an event? Or is it an experience? Is Christmas something that you just celebrate as an event, or is it something that is an experience that takes place in your heart? Is Christmas something that you participate in during the month of December, and then you pack away for another year? How many know for most people that's what Christmas is? We go all out for a month, then we pack it all away until next year. Or is Christmas something that touches your heart and transforms your life today and every day of your life? You see, my prayer today is that we would move past Christmas as being an event, and we would allow Christmas to be an experience, a personal experience with Jesus Christ, a personal experience that will cause us to receive these four gifts of unstoppable love, unsurpassable peace, unspeakable joy, and unshakable hope. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to give birth to the child that's going to be the Savior of the world. Remember what Mary's question was? Maybe it's the same question we're asking today when it comes to how can I experience this gift? How was Mary going to experience this wonderful gift of the child to be born? How can I experience unstoppable love? And how can I experience the gift of unsurpassable peace? And how can I experience this gift of unspeakable joy and unshakable hope? Here's the bottom line. I think I've alluded to it each week as we did a different Christmas carol. And I want us to see this, and I want to drive this truth home so important. The only way that we experience these gifts, and the only way that we experience Christmas to the fullest, the only way it means something to us, not just today and in December, but all year and every day of our life, is when we have more than a casual experience with baby Jesus, and we have a life-changing experience with King Jesus. That's the bottom line. Everybody loves baby Jesus. Come on. Cute, cuddly. Away. And I'm not going to sing. Everybody loves cute and cuddly, non-confrontational Jesus in a manger. How many know where we really struggle, though, is with the King who says, you got to clean up your life. You got to change your life. You got to commit your life. See, that's the Jesus that, whoa. But see, that's the difference between an event and an experience. That's the difference between being a Christian and experience the Christian life to the fullest. There's a lot of casual Christians who have a casual experience. But I'll tell you what, if you want to experience unstoppable love and unspeakable joy and unsurpassable peace and unshakable hope, you've got to have a life-changing experience with the King. You got to bow your life and say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. I surrender. Listen, he was born a baby, but how many know he was born King? And they came and they worshiped him and they gave him gifts and they surrendered their lives to him and they followed him. Today, that's where all of the fullness of Christmas and the fullness of Christ is found. When we have a life-changing experience with King Jesus. I want you to bow your head with me. As